But in between that, I've been recording and performing as an artist under my own name. And hopefully that'll be my full-time job.
Right. Yeah. Can we find your son from somewhere? Like, give me a name.
No, it's Hallelujah, which is Halleluya. And Hailu is Hailu.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah, I'm there already.
This one or this one? The first one?
Yeah, I actually pick a different one than that.
Okay.
Manic Pixie Pacifist. It's just like my YouTube channel is just.
Oh
right, there.
Let's play something.
Okay.
Because earlier I was complaining about myself not playing enough songs during my show because this is more like a talk show. But now I get the chance. So which one would you like us to?
Maybe Pinball. Pinball. That
all
one.
Right. All right.
I had blue hair in that music video. Okay, oh my gosh.
By the way, this is not even the most viewed one. Oh my God. Those songs have like really high views. Like, I'm so amazed. But okay, let's listen to some part of this song.
Yeah.
Called Pinball. Wow, that was a really beautiful song, and I'm so amazed by how many views Hallelujah got for her WeChat channel, and her channel called Hallelujah Hailu, right? Called spell it Halleluya space and Hailu. Okay, subscribe, guys, and maybe you should call it. Create like Instagram pages or something like that. But I'm so amazed, like, you are actually working on it. So you're not like, it was a wrong question asking where you're gonna and how or what kind of career path you're gonna build, because you've already on it, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, it was good for me to be living in a city. around the time of like the pandemic, I was still really young. I was like 17 or 18, and I was lucky to in school like learn how to record and write music. Mm-hmm. And when I was living in Nelson is when I was approached to sign to 604 Records, which is a record label in Vancouver. And so that song, I think, was my second song that I put out with them.
Right.
But yeah, 604 is a really great Canadian record label. Most known, you know the song Call Me Maybe?
Oh, yeah?
What about it? That was on my label, my 604. Oh. They're from Vancouver. So Carly Rae Jepsen was signed, or is still signed to them for Canadian distribution.
Okay.
But yeah, that song is probably paying for my album very slowly.
Oh, what does that mean? Like,
So when Call Me Maybe was a huge international hit, and I know that helped by the label, like recording studios and stuff. Mm-hmm. They ended up buying a space where I made that music video actually for that song.
Wait, what? Like, I'm confused. Let's start from the very beginning, because I want this. I wanted to know, and I'm pretty sure our audiences wanted to know, or our future audiences, when they recall back to this episode, they wanted to know how this industry works. So Call Me Maybe obviously is a global hit, right? But like, what's the connection between you and that song, and how that song is paying, what are you doing?
A little bit of a joke, but... Call Me Maybe was released on 604 Records, which is the record label that I'm currently on. And I know that was a big success for them. So I like joking that, mm-hmm. you know, that song is the reason why I get to make music, and so many other young people in Vancouver who are signed to that label mm-hmm. get to make music.
Right.
Because I think it proved that there is great artistry and art that's being made here.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes all the attention goes to Montreal or Toronto. But yeah, 604 Records. I think that's one of the bigger ones that I bring up. I'm like, oh, this is an artist that's on my record label as well.
Oh, so when artists talk about like record label, is that's the company who's kind of signing all those singers and artists, and then they wouldn't say that's my company. Like it's not like Tick, right? They're like they talk about Google, they wouldn't say that's like whatever, but then they would say that's the label or my record label. So yeah, to claim that. And okay, so you're under the same company as the singer who wrote Call Me Maybe. And what's the connection about like the music video you make or with that song?
Yeah. Half joking, but I don't know if that song wasn't as big, I don't know if they would have bought the studio that we record everything in.
Mm-hmm.
So that music video was made at the 604 sound stages. Actually, every music video I've done has been made in that soundstage with some really incredible directors. I feel very lucky that I get to make music videos. I know that because of the way the industry is, people don't want to make music videos anymore. But I've always loved, like, in the era of, like, MTV and stuff, like, scrolling through the channels and watching music videos. And even, like, early YouTube, it's always so much fun to see, like, what the artist or the team imagines goes with the song that they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for the folks listening at home, for that song we played, Pinball, I worked with a director named Sina Snolta, and I was like, well, I love this like song, and it's about a pinball machine, and we just want to do something small, and I want to be playing pinball, which is like, you know, the game with them. It's like at bars or whatever, and you pull the thing and like a ball bounces around. You're trying to keep it from falling.
Right.
And in the music video, they scanned me, and I'm like lip syncing the lyrics, and they shrank me down and put me in the pinball machine. So yeah, I don't know, like people don't get to do those kind of creative things sometimes unless they're very good at video editing or have a good creative team around them, because I wouldn't have been able to do that by myself.
Right. So that was like 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
So that when you make that music video, was that like made with the team under that record label, or it was like your group of friends? How did that work?
So the record label as well, but I brought on somebody who was a local filmmaker who's done a lot of really great work. That was Sina Snolta, and Sina also did my music video for another song called Ginny. which we shot that music video all on. Everybody's obsessed with film now because of the Odyssey that was done in IMAX film. We didn't have an IMAX camera. We didn't have the budget for that, but we shot it on 16mm film, which was risky because, like, you know, with a phone camera or a digital camera, you record, and the worst thing that'll happen is you'll lose the memory card or a file bit corrupted. With film, it's like you shoot it, and if you open the camera wrong, all of it's done. Like, you can't.
Oh, wait, you're talking about 20 years ago.
No, we did that 2 years ago, yeah.
Oh, but, like, I thought everybody should... videos even from phones, right? No. Yeah.
Well, we wanted the challenge of shooting it completely on film, and it looked gorgeous. Like, there's a certain, like, thing that you can't, I feel like, get in digital that we got in film, so I've gotten to do that twice. It is very high stress, though.
I see. It definitely requires higher budget, for sure. But, like, that sounds really fun, that next time when you have some kind of, like, sentimental, emotional role, please let me know, because I kind of want to play that kind of role.
That's a music
really
video.
Like, people are saying, like, you know, you're facing to your friends, and everybody knows that you, like, make stupid jokes all the time, but at this point, you have to kind of force yourself to make, like, sad face over, I don't know, guy or girl or whatever. But it's just kind of fun. But yeah, I'm just kidding. But I think this is really, really interesting. And how did you get signed with the record label when you were still like a student and not like, you know, somebody who's big? Because I know there's so many artists, especially like we're in this studio, right? That it started with the music radio, and we receive from this radio station, SJSF, we receive so many artists. They mailed their records, their own songs to here, and those, I'm not sure, how do you call, like, the record machine or something?
Either, like, the vinyl? Like, the...
Yeah, like, I'm so not professional, but, like, they have to spend their own money to make all those, and then mail here and trying to get played. So I know this is a super competitive industry, but, like, obviously so many people are so talented, and you got this opportunity to sign with them. How did you find that opportunity? How did you fight for that opportunity? And maybe you didn't fight for it, but let's hear your story.
Of course. I think there's, like, a good, like, phrase where it's like, everybody always thinks about music as, like, an overnight success thing. Before I signed to my record label, I had done a 2-year-long recording program through my public high school. I put out my music independently. I actually volunteered here for 2.5 years before I signed.
Here means?
Like, at SFU, at CJSF, while I was a teenager. And when my first EP, before I signed, I was in my parents' garage on my old computer, burning CDs and printing out the packaging and, you know, dropping them off here and giving them to random people at shows. And, like, I think that a lot of, like, people who are overnight successes are just people who worked really hard to get their skills up. And, you know, you run into the right person or the right video goes viral. And then it's like, if you're able to capitalize on it, it's like, okay, like, oh, where did they even come from or whatever?
Garage.
And although I'm still, you know, I'm still not, you know, as big as like Chaperone or Beyonce or whatever. But
right.
Maybe I will be.
Yeah.
But when I put out that first record, that, you know, I was printing up my making my own CDs or whatever, I ended up playing a show with somebody who was also at the same record label and meeting somebody who I was just like I treated the same. And I was like, oh, like, thank you for coming. Do you want a free CD?
Okay.
And it ended up getting back to the label. And at the same time, I got a tiny bit of like news coverage. And so, like, the same week as I give the CD to somebody, I was in the local newspaper, the Vancouver Sun, and my record hit, like, number 8 on the CJSF charts. Somebody at the label went, hey, why don't I know this girl?
Right.
And it still took a lot of hard work. After that initial meeting, I didn't really get offered anything for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, they'd email and be like, what are you working on? And I'd be like, oh, I'm working on this. Cool. And I would hear from them for months. And when I did eventually sign it, like, it kind of started going a bit faster. And I was being asked, like, would you want to sign? Do you want to work with our team or whatever? But like that's kind of how I ended up in the position of working with 604 and the lovely team there. I think that in 2026, you don't necessarily need a label, especially in like Vancouver. Like in Canada, there's a lot of money that's given towards the arts through like arts grants and stuff. But I think at the point I was at, being so young when I first entered the industry, I benefited from having some older, more experienced people kind of guide me through.
That's a very classic entrepreneurial kind of story where, like, you know, everybody like Steve Jobs, like work everything in their garage. That's why I said like garage, you have to start with your garage and then you have some kind of successful story to tell. But I love that because that really is what I've always, I think I do it myself with the entrepreneurial spirit, is that you just be so in take the initiative, right? Like you have to go and seek for the opportunities. So it seems like you talk to those people, and after, of course, a lot of action you did, you got noticed by them. But then things didn't happen immediately. But then after a year or two, like then you, it seems like you were in their pools, and then they start to talk to you. So maybe you should just do tons of actions, and then when you see the result, like you plant the seeds, and a year or two or a few years later, you will see the result. Mm-hmm. That's how things happen, right?
I know like a lot of people who are in the creative realm who like don't want to take the risk. Like they'll write, I have a friend or two that I'm like, you have probably the best album ever, but nobody's heard it. Cause it's like, well, I'm going to wait until the moment is right to put it out. Like, I'm going to wait till I have this many followers to put it out. I'm going to wait until, like, I get this opportunity. And the problem is nobody knows how good the album is or how good your music could be because there's not a risk being taken.
Right.
And also, like, the, like, you know, kind of planting a seed. Like, it's very risky to invest in a young person.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you were right. Like, there's so much time for you to change your mind about your career. And I've been told by older people in the industry that there's like often like people will hold back from putting a lot of money or a lot of like energy into a young artist because it, you know, it's not that low of a chance that they turn 25 and then go, actually, I want to do something else. Like, I'm only 23 now. I could see myself doing this for the rest of my life, but there are already peers of mine who I thought would be more successful musicians than me going, I actually want to do something else. And that's completely fair. Like, people change their career like very often in life.
Yeah. I feel like for musicians or a lot of people who are talented or found their talents through their pathway at a very young age. And I was always being jealous of those people because like I was one of them, or I am still like being exploring. But now I feel like I slowly find my path. Like what I'm doing right now, I get my audiences. But like it took such a long exploration. But you find your way such an early stage. Do you think you will still have that courage when you get more mature? Like, because you were like high school teenagers, and like when we're teenagers or younger, we don't even know the consequences, or we don't feel as embarrassed or so scared or timid when we try new things. But when you become more towards to like adult, you have these consequences. You're like, I'm publicly shaming myself, or how do like my friends will see me if I failed? And most of the time you fail first, right? So do you feel like that affect your attitude or what?
I feel honestly like I'm trying to think of a good way to explain this.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, I think a teenager, I feel like there's like, you can't do anything weird when you're a teenager, or like there's like when you're in high school, like the culture very much I found when I was in high school is that like, you know, like to deviate from the normal thing,
mm-hmm,
was weird. So I was like, I felt like if I didn't go for what I wanted to do, yes, it might be embarrassing that I put out a song when I'm 17 and it wasn't good, but I wouldn't have been happy unless I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, honestly, the music I put out when I was 17 was embarrassing and not very good, but I did it and I learned. Like, I feel like if you don't try at least to put yourself out there or try. I think that's like more of a thing like that you end up like regretting later on.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying about like maybe not immediately finding your passion.
Yeah.
But I think it's like it's better to spend time exploring, figuring out what you want to do than just picking one thing and then being like, all right, I'm going to do it forever. Like,
yeah.
Once you like find the thing or your audience or your community that you want to be part of, like you'll know and you'll put all the effort and work ethic to make yourself the best version of yourself and the best creative of yourself. And that's what I felt like with art. I feel like there's something embarrassing about telling everybody your feelings in a song or getting up on stage and performing. But I know I wouldn't be happy if I didn't at least put all my effort into it now.
Yeah, I mean, I highly agree. It just takes courage to put yourself out there. However, like nowadays, I think it's almost like everybody can start their show and start like it's just be on TV, right? Like, so it's like you have the opportunity, really. You have no excuse to say, oh, I don't have the resource or leverage or platform. But my own experience is that like I wouldn't be surprised that people still feel scared of it, because when you get out of there, everybody's here to like be prepared to judge you, right? Like not everybody, but you get a lot of people to support you. I think the worst case scenario is that you get no feedback, because I went through that stage. Like negative feedback is some kind of feedback, but no feedback is nothing, right? Like, as you can see, we're doing live streaming and like
immediate feedback.
Yeah, I get immediate feedback from like the current technology. I can record those things and then put out there, but I choose to do live streaming because I like it. I like the battles, and I feel like I become more confident, not just because more people support me, it's also and like the channel. I had like so many failures before this, but also like the criticism, you see how people's perspectives represent themselves, like how do I feel about it? People judge your makeup, people judge how do you dress, people judge your skin color even, or like, I mean, not me, right? Like, but I know people get judged by that and in everywhere, and then people just like have so many opinions, but at the same time you see more people like being supportive, and then they fight with each other, they have a battle in the common area, which is like really interesting. And I love this because, like I said, it's a lot better than getting no feedback at all. And I guess like as a musician you kind of like feel the same. And but since it towards to the end of our show, I definitely would love to welcome you back to our show, share more about your plans and also all the stories, because this is very conversational.
Yeah.
So talk as much as you could. But do you have anything else to announce or share with our audiences in China, in Vancouver, all over the world, or shout out to whoever you feel shout out to?
Well, very quickly, I agree with you. Like, I remember a very old mentor of mine saying that if you make art and nobody has an opinion on it, you've made a mistake. Like, you know, somebody not liking it or liking it, that means you're doing something wrong. And if somebody really doesn't like it, that means you're doing something right. But if somebody feels nothing for it, you got to go back to the drawing board. You haven't made art yet.
Yeah, could you repeat to emphasize to everybody? Because I know a lot of people want to try things, but they're so scared of it, especially when they go listen to somebody's music, watching somebody's show, like what we're doing. And then they see they got judged, they got criticized. Then they're so scared of it. And then that kind of hesitation makes people like few steps away from their dream.
Yeah. Right? If you make a piece of art and nobody feels anything toward it, you haven't made art yet. If somebody makes it and feels happy and gives you positive feedback, you've done something right. And if somebody really doesn't like it, you also did something right. And I have to remember that, especially, you know, when you're posting online, everybody has opinions. And if they're expressing their opinion towards you, good or bad, that means you're creating something like worth talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm Hallelujah Hailu. Thank you so much, guys. I hope you check out my music.
Yeah, definitely check her music on YouTube videos and where else we could listen to your music or watch your music videos.
Yeah, I'm on most of the social medias like TikTok or Instagram, but in YouTube. But I'll be starting an email list probably pretty soon and my own website. But it's all
What's
the same.
What's your website name?
It's HallelujahHailu.com. So that's HALELUYA Hailu, HAILU.com. I think I'm the only person that makes music under this name, so it shouldn't be too hard to find me on the internet.
Okay, that's really awesome, and thank you so much for joining our show. And for everybody, also to answer the question, I'm holding a panda for people who are just listening through the radio, and some followers and some audiences from our live streaming ask me how often we wash this panda. It's never been washed. So. So just to let you know. But anyways, it's a fun conversation. And thank you so much. We're on live every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. Vancouver time. And Friday, 7 to 8 a.m. During the summertime in China time. So thank you so much for joining us. And big shout out to everybody who works at CJSF. CJSF 90.1 FM. And you can also listen to our show on CJSF.ca. And at the end, we're going to play another song of Hallelujah's, let's say,
Pixie. I just want to make sure it's clean for the radio.
Okay, I'm going to play this one.
Hallelujah, Hailu, Manic Pixie Pacifist.
All right, I'll see you next week. Yeah.
Don't call me and expect anything other than my usual apathetic tone. I'm not a cop, I'm not a priest, but you confess it all to me. Who else knows? Maybe I'm just a manic pixie pacifist. Act real life that you believe in it. Just
Oh, I forgot that the song ended. But hey, that's cool. We love some dead air. It's just, you know,